Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2. And we're going to look at this morning at verses 11 to verse 16. And you remember, of course, that Paul wrote this letter to the churches in Galatia. And he wrote because of a problem that they were experiencing. And that was that some men called Judaizers were coming in after Paul. And they were Judaizing, which means trying to bring the churches of Jesus Christ in Galatia to something called Judaism. And Judaism, basically, in that day, contrary to what some might say today, was a works righteousness religion. And so they taught that, you've got to do all you can, be all that you can be, and when you've done it all, God will let you into heaven, blah, blah, blah. Well, Paul hears this, and he writes this letter called Galatians, and he says, no way, that is not the way it works. And he's quite adamant about that, that it's through faith, of course, and faith not by works at all, that a person is declared right with God, or in other words, justified. And of course, these men came along and said, well, you know, Paul was a second-rate apostle with a second-rate message. And so Paul writes this letter. In the first chapter, he's defending his apostolic authority. And he's doing that autobiographically. And he's showing the Galatians that he has an apostolic commission. He talks about how God called him to preach the gospel in chapter 1, in verses 11 to verse 24. And then in chapter 2, he lays down his apostolic commendation. In other words, he went up to Jerusalem and received no disagreement from the apostles. They completely approved of everything that he was teaching. And that brings us this morning to chapter 2 of Galatians. And Paul still persuading or arguing that he is the man called by God and that his message and his apostleship are in no ways inferior to those of the others. And so you better listen to Paul. And that's what Paul's saying. Okay, are you with me? All right, chapter 2, verses 11 to verse 21. And now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature, not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Did you hear that? But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through faith, or through the law rather, then Christ died in vain. Let's seek God's blessing on his word this morning. Father, we are praying to you. We are trusting that you are going to open up our ears and our hearts, that we will listen to what you have to say to us. And Lord God, that we will take it in and make it part of our living. And that we will be eager and desirous to hear that word from you this morning. And so, God, just be here and bless your word to our hearts and to our lives, and change us, and God, convict us and confront us and do all those things needed, Father, to make us like Jesus. And I pray this with my brothers and sisters this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a time about 20 years ago, and I was just coming out of the world, and I was at a point where I'm not sure if I was actually converted or not, but I was en route, and certainly I had something happening in my heart. And I'd like to say that when I made the break from the world to Christ, it was a nice clean break, but that was not the way it happened. Now, when I came to Jesus Christ, there was still a lot of the world in me that had to go. And I remember one day talking to a friend about his need for Jesus Christ, and this guy just took a look at my life, and he could see some of the things that were going on still, and they weren't great things. And if I were to tell you, you'd think, was this guy a Christian at all? And he took me aside, and he pointed at me in the face, and he said to me, "Kieran, you are a hypocrite." And I remember looking at him, and I had absolutely nothing to say in my defense. I just, nothing. The amazing thing is that God really used that episode in my life to change me, because right then and there, I resolved I never, ever want to be in a place again where someone can point me in the face and say, "You are a hypocrite." I mean, it was a terrible experience. It was raw. It was embarrassing. And never want to be there again. And I'll tell you something, though. I'm thankful for my friend who had the guts to be straight up with me and to look me in the eyes and say, "You were wrong, Kieran. You're a hypocrite." And we need people like that more and more in the Church of Jesus Christ today. People who are willing to go up to a fellow brother or sister and say, "You know what? You're living in hypocrisy. You're wrong." Like Paul. Peter blows it here, doesn't he? I mean, he just gets it all wrong. And we believe that Peter was saved. We believe that he preached justification by faith alone. The problem was here he wasn't living it. His life was contradicting that message of faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. And because of that, when Paul saw it, Peter walked up to him and got straight up with Peter about the fact, as he says, if you look down your Bibles at verse 14, that he wasn't being straightforward. He got straight up about the fact that they weren't being straightforward about the gospel. In other words, they were living hypocritically. They weren't living a life that really reflected the true content of the gospel, which we're going to take a look at this morning. And you know what? I'll tell you something, friends. We may preach justification by faith alone, but you know what? There are all kinds of ways in which we live, and as we live, we contradict that message, and we're living hypocritically. And we need a Paul to come alongside of us and to say and to get straight up with us about the fact that we're not living straightforward about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this morning, what we're doing is we're looking at how Paul did that with Peter, and we're learning how to be straight up when we're not straightforward about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you ask the question, how do you do that? Well, here's how Paul did it. First of all, we get the wrongness. We have got to get the wrongness of not being straight up about the gospel of Jesus Christ, about not being straightforward with that. Look down your Bibles. Let's get right into it. Verse 11. "And now when Peter had come to Antioch..." Now, how many of you know anything about Antioch? Now, Antioch was a place where people were first called Christians. We're told in the book of Acts that when the persecution broke out, that it made its way all the way over, or believers were scattered, that is, all the way to Antioch. And so in Antioch, you got this this pool of Gentiles and Jewish believers. And there they were in the churches and fellowshipping, and that was great. And Peter comes along, and we're told that he was eating with these people, Jews and Gentiles. And that's not a problem. That's a good thing, because back in Acts chapter 10, God had said to Peter in a vision, remember the story? Peter falls asleep, and something like a blanket comes down. It's tied at the top, and it's got animals in it, unclean animals to a Jew. And a voice comes down from heaven and says, "Peter, get up and kill and eat." And Peter, being a Jew, never having eaten unclean animals, says, "God, I can't eat these things. They're not clean." And God says, "Peter, don't call unclean, what I've called clean. And what God was saying, of course, was that the Gentiles are now in with the Jews, and there is no distinction there. We're all one. We're all clean in Jesus Christ. And so it was good that Peter was eating with the Gentiles and wasn't observing the Old Testament food law rituals. They've been done and fulfilled and put out of gear by Jesus Christ. And so it was good that Peter was eating. The problem came, however, when certain Jews from James came, and these Jews weren't believers, I don't think. And they were men who came down from the Jerusalem church. They were legalists. In verse 12, I think, the Apostle Paul says they were of the circumcision, which is just a buzzword for legalism. And these guys were legalists. These were the guys who were always hounding Paul's footsteps and Paul's ministry. And then when they showed up, Peter began to no longer eat with the Gentiles. And the force of the verb there is kind of like he didn't just see them and run away and start eating with the Jews. He actually, little by little, stopped eating with them altogether. You say, what's the problem with that? Well, here's the problem. Peter had been preaching that you're saved by faith alone in Jesus Christ. But by separating from the Gentiles and eating with the Jews and observing their ritualistic laws, what was Peter or Paul really saying that? Or what was Peter saying about how a person is saved? That now it's no longer enough just to believe in Jesus Christ. You also got to do what? You've got to keep the food laws. Okay? And so, Peter believed in justification by faith alone. But practically, what he was showing now was that in order to be a Christian, you've got to be what? A Jew. You've got to keep the laws. You've got to keep the food laws. And Peter was being hypocritical. Living like a hypocrite. And his actions and his life were denying the very gospel that he preached. Do you see that? And friends, I'm not so sure that this is not a problem in our lives. One that doesn't need to be addressed. I think it's something that needs to be addressed. Because I believe that whenever we withdraw from fellow believers, that we are in one way, shape, or form living out a kind of form of legalism. And I'm going to have to defend that, explain that to you this morning a little bit. But here it goes. I believe it's legalism to withdraw from fellow believers over theological matters. I believe that it is legalism to withdraw, to refuse to associate with fellow believers over theological matters. Okay? You know, issues like infant baptism or what kind of worship or, you know, what you believe about eschatology or ecclesiology, to absolutely refuse to hang out, to associate with a fellow believer because they hold to a different kind of theology is legalism. It's saying we believe that we got to have faith in Jesus Christ, plus you've got to agree with my theology. And if you don't agree with my theology, then I'm not hanging out with you. And so now what we've done is we've added to faith works or theology as a condition for acceptance. Does God accept you because you have the right theology? On what basis does God accept you? By faith alone in Jesus Christ. So who are we to turn around and refuse to associate with people because they don't believe in our theology? That's legalism. Do I believe that theology is important? Absolutely. Does Paul say no pure doctrine? Absolutely. Should we be committed to what we believe God to be teaching about the Word of God and theology? Absolutely. But to refuse to spend time with fellow believers because we hold different theologies is legalism. It's another gospel. It's to live hypocritically. Okay? How about this? It is legalistic to withdraw from fellow believers over cultural or ethnic differences. Okay? So to refuse to spend time with the believer because he's black or she's white or whatever, they come from a cultural background. What that's saying is saying that in addition to believing Jesus Christ, you've got to have my skin color, you've got to have my cultural background, or I'm out of here. I'm not hanging out with you. That's another gospel, friends. That's legalism. You know, back in just prior to the Civil War, can you believe this? In Presbyterian churches in the South, they used to give out tokens for the Lord's Supper, and that token would allow you the Lord's Supper. They used to give silver tokens to white people, and they would give a base metal token to blacks. And once the white people had eaten the Lord's Supper, then the black people could come up. And this was done in churches, and I believe by saved men who were preaching, and they were committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and yet practically, legalism. And I'd like to believe that that doesn't happen anymore, but you know what, friends? I can't say that it doesn't. But what I am saying to you this morning is that when we refuse to associate, hang out, when we withdraw from fellow believers because of their skin color or because of their ethnicity or their cultural background, we are being legalistic and we are denying the gospel, the free gospel of Jesus Christ. You understand that? And how about this? It is legalistic to withdraw from fellow believers over personalities. How many of you know some awkward believers? Some believers that are hard to hang out with. I mean, they're just weird. They're strange. Have you met people like that? Or they're just difficult. And you know that getting into a conversation with them is going to be difficult. It's going to be taxing. It's going to be wearing. But I'll tell you something. To withdraw from those kinds of people is legalism. It's saying, yes, I believe in faith, in Jesus Christ alone. Plus, you've got to have the right personality. Okay? You've got to have the right personality. In other words, you've got to have a personality that I click with. If you don't, I'm out of here. That's legalism, friends. Hey, did God save you because of your personality? So who are we, friends, to withdraw and to pull back from fellow believers because we don't click with them? Hey, listen, some believers are awkward and some are difficult and some are really strange. But you know what? We're committed to one gospel through faith in Jesus Christ. Hey, spend time with them. If you need grace to spend time with them, then ask God for the grace to spend time with them. But don't pull back. That's legalism. It's legalistic, and I believe it's also legalistic to withdraw from believers over matters of personal freedom. You know what I mean by that? I mean, there are things in the Word of God that don't touch certain issues. They're called things indifferent, adiaphora, like drinking in moderation, like what movies you go to, what kind of things you celebrate or observe. And to withdraw from fellow believers because you don't like the way that they're expressing their Christian freedom is legalism. It's legalism. It's saying, we have faith in Jesus Christ, but you also have to be observing your Christian freedom the way that I observe my Christian freedom. And if you don't, I'm out of here, I'm pulling back, I'm withdrawing. That's legalism. That is another gospel. Don't do it. I think it's also legalism to withdraw from a fellow believer, from your brother or sister who are struggling in sin. That's so often a temptation, isn't it? We see a brother or sister, they're not doing well, they're not walking well, and what's the temptation? It's to draw back. But what are we really saying? What we're saying is this. We believe in faith in Jesus Christ alone, plus you've got to be walking the line the way that I'm walking. If you're not, I'm not in your face, or I'm not going to be with you. I'm not going to be fellowshipping with you. You know what that is? That's legalism. God accepts you because you've got your act together. So why are you demanding of a brother or sister? Galatians chapter 6, 1 says how we are to interact with struggling brothers or sisters. You don't avoid them. What do? You restore them in a spirit of gentleness. The only place in the entire Bible where we are told or given permission to withdraw from a so-called believer is in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. It says this, "Do not keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, covetous, an idolater, an extortioner." He goes on to say, "Don't even eat with these people." That is the only place in the New Testament, the only provision given for withdrawing from a fellow or at least a confessing believer. Somebody who has the name of a Christian. That's the only place. Other than that, friends, we cannot be holding back. We cannot be withdrawing. If we do, guess what? We're living legalistically. And we're not living according to the gospel of Jesus Christ, which says this, that God saves us through Jesus Christ, through faith alone and not by works. Hey, if we're bringing works into the equation, if we're bringing our theology, if we're bringing in our cultural differences, if we're bringing in our personalities, our Christian freedom, or struggling saints, we're acting hypocritically. And our lives are not meshing with what we preach about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's wrong. You see that this morning? That's just wrong. And you need to get the wrongness of not living straightforward according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you know what else is wrong about this whole episode here? It's Peter's motivation. Peter was motivated by a fear of man. Why did he draw back? It says, if you look down in your Bibles, in verse 12, the reason he pulled back was because he feared those who were of the circumcision. He was afraid of what the Jews would think about him, that he would lose his popularity, his reputation. He was afraid. Do you want to know why we pull back? Do you want to know why we withdraw? You want to know why? You know what oftentimes is behind it all? What's motivating that? It's fear of man. I'm afraid of what people will think of me. So I'm going to isolate myself. I'm going to cut myself off. I'm going to alienate myself from certain groups of people in the Church of Jesus Christ. It's fear of man. It's not noble. It's wrong. And you know what's wrong? Because it rarely stops at one person. It spreads. I mean, look at the influence that Peter's hypocrisy had on the church. We're told, verse 13, that the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. Even Barnabas. You know who Barnabas was? He was the pastor of the church in Antioch. This was a guy who traveled with Paul, did ministry with Paul, fought with Paul, prayed with Paul. I mean, this was his friend. And there he goes, off with the Jews and away from the Gentiles, denying the gospel of Jesus Christ by his actions, living, playing the hypocrite. The thing about legalism, friends, is this, it's infectious. It just breeds itself. You know, you get in groups of people and where legalism begins to rear its face and it spreads. And then when people see legalism taking place, they're afraid of being on the out. And so they jump in, they get aboard, right? And you see this. Listen, I'm not here this morning to come down to other churches, but you know, I've been in churches where, you know, there's a certain way of doing things. If you don't do them this way, you're on the out. You know what I'm talking about? You've got to dress the way we dress here. You've got to homeschool your kids. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. You know what? If you don't do it, you know what? You're not in. You're out. You know what? It's just arrogance. And it's fear of man. And it's infectious. And people think that they have Christ and what they've got, in fact, is just a form of religion. And it's dead. It's legalism. It's bondage. And we don't want that here. We don't want that here. And so what we're doing is we're looking at the wrongness of living a life that isn't straightforward according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're looking at here. We've got to be able to see that like Paul did. Paul saw it. He understood that Peter was not being straightforward with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was being a hypocrite. And so what does he do next? Listen to this. He gets in Peter's face. Not only do we have to get the wrongness of not living straightforward according to the gospel, but we need to also get in each other's faces when we're not being straightforward about the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's exactly what Paul does. And Paul is so exemplary here. Paul doesn't do what we often do when we see people living in legalism or saying things that are legalistic. And what is that? What do we often do when we see legalism? When we hear a person speaking legalistically, what's the temptation? Come on. What's the gossip? That's right. We become legalists. We start thinking judgmentally about those people. That's right. Or we do nothing. Right? But Paul didn't do that. Here's what Paul did. He walked up to Peter, he looked him in the face, and said to him, "You're wrong. You are so wrong, Peter." We're told that he was to be blamed. Verse 11, now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. And that word there means that he was in the wrong. And Paul went up to Peter and said, "Peter, you're wrong. You're being hypocritical. You're living like a legalist." I love the way that Paul does this here. It's quickly, right? When we're told Paul gets to Antioch, he goes up to Peter and he gets in his face right away, no delay, and he just calls him up. He's straight up with Peter. He says, "You're wrong. You know, this is how you deal with people who are acting legalistically in the Church of Jesus Christ. You don't ignore them. You get in their faces in love, but you get in their faces. Why? Because the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ is so important that you've got to do this. When you see a person saying anything legalistic or acting legalistic by, you know, withdrawing or whatnot, you've got to go and deal with them privately if necessary, or if it's public, then do it publicly. Obviously, Paul had no problems about doing this publicly. He wasn't worried about what would happen to Peter or how Peter would feel. He didn't care if Peter got embarrassed. Why not? Why not? Because the gospel was so important. That was the thing at stake. And because that was the thing at stake, Paul just didn't care. He got into Peter's face right there in front of everybody and said, "Hey, you're living like a hypocrite," right? He does it quickly. But see this also. He does it with the gospel. Notice how Paul begins to interact with Peter. Look down at your Bibles. Verse 14. "But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, 'If you being a Jew live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews?'" In other words, you're a Jew, but you've given up following the dietary laws of the Old Testament, how come now you're requiring Gentiles to live like Jews? It doesn't make any sense. "We who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh is justified. Listen, the bottom line is this, friends, that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, apart from the works of the law. And if we see a brother or sister, we see ourselves. Then we need to get into each other's faces and be honest and confront and not be afraid about that. And we believe in this here. We believe in honest confrontation, loving confrontation. We don't believe that it's right or good in God's sight to ignore this when people are acting and talking legalistically. We understand what's at stake here, the gospel of Jesus Christ and people's freedom and liberty. And we take that very seriously here. Amen. And that's why we will get in each other's faces when we see legalism. Amen. And I'll tell you something. When we do that, when we're willing to get in each other's faces and be straight up, when we're not living straightforward according to the gospel, lives are changed. Now, we're not told how Peter responded here, but I'm sure he responded well. We know in 2 Peter 3, verse 16, when Peter is writing out his letter in the twilight years of his life, he refers to Paul as, guess what? Brother Paul. And so was this awkward and embarrassing? Would you have been embarrassed to be called up on the carpet like that? To be exposed? And the great leader of the church to be exposed like that? Yeah, absolutely. But Peter learned from that. And when Paul exposes legalism, he humbled himself and said, you know what, Paul, you're right. You're absolutely right. I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be separating from the Gentiles and showing them practically that there is something in addition to faith that they need to be saved. And I just repent of that. The book of Proverbs says that faithful are the wounds of a friend. And friends, we need to wound each other in love, that the truth of the gospel might remain among us, and that we might be able to live lives free in Jesus Christ. I hate legalism. I hate it. It sickens me. It's bondage. And here at Living Hope, we take that very seriously. And here at Living Hope, we will love each other enough to get into each other's faces in love and to be straight up about believers when we see them not living straightforward according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Well, Father in heaven, we pray then that we would follow Paul's exemplary model and Peter's afterward of confrontation and humility. We pray, Father, that we would never in our actions communicate something contrary to the gospel, that there is any other way but through faith. We ask, Father, that you would give us the grace never to withdraw from believers according to a legalistic approach or reason. We pray, Father, that our lives will consistently demonstrate and communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ, saved by grace through faith alone. And Lord God, when we fail in this, may we be given the courage and the character like Paul to confront our brothers and sisters in love. And Lord, to see the gospel then remain here and freedom experienced in all that we do. And so we thank you this morning for your word. Bless it to our lives. Bless it to our community here. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.